everyone. I'm Ryan Durkee, and on this episode of Here to Listen, that's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen, I'm chatting with the Juno-nominated, incredibly talented R&B and soul singer, Zen Soul.
The one that feels good to your soul, the one I used to see on them shows. That love, the one that feels like you're at home. The one that got you sleeping on the phone.
As always, I'll be asking questions which go beyond the fluff, covering the past, present, and future on a range of topics. So without further ado, everyone, welcome Zen Soul.
Hi.
So you're live from the car right now.
Yes, I am.
You were telling me a little bit about that before we started. So you were out with your family, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so I came to my mom's church going longer than but Black churches do that.
Well, I'm so excited to have you on the show, and thanks for taking the time to join us. I'm ready to get right into it.
And before we even start, I love the greenery in your background. Like, oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. So I want to get right into it. And I want you to tell us what's your full name and why did you choose the artist name Zen Soul?
Mm-hmm. So my full name is long. Angie Nene Oluwaseun Akinagba. And technically my first name is Nene. So I just took the N in Nene and I like moved it to the side. And obviously that's a Z. So I'm like, okay. And I searched it up and it meant music in Hungarian. So I'm like, okay, I really like that. And then I like the whole idea of like peace and like my voice is very soulful but soft at the same time. So I was like, pronouncing it Zen is very fitting. So then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do Zen. And then I think I noticed someone already had that name. So I just added the soul at the end to make it Zen Soul. And that's like the formation of my name.
That's the thing with social media nowadays is you can look up anything and you're like, oh no, it's taken.
That was so heartbroken. But it's okay. The soul lets you kind of know like what you're getting yourself into.
It's the perfect artist name, I think. And and I never knew that story that you flipped the N on the side and it made a Z, but then that name, like Zen means, you're saying in Hungarian, it means music.
Music.
Wow. I mean, that just worked out perfectly.
Right?
Yeah. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. I want to know a little bit more about, you know, what your childhood was like and when you started to develop your passion for music.
So I grew up like always crying. Like my family said I cried a lot, like, and like nothing would be wrong with me. I'm just like crying, and I didn't eat much. Like I didn't like eating. And I would just cry, like neighbors would come over like, why is this girl always crying? What are you guys doing to her? And they're like, we're literally doing nothing to her. I'm just always crying. So now that I'm older, I say I was singing. I wasn't crying. I was singing. But yeah, as I got older, like my brothers and I would like fight for like the microphone. Like not my youngest brother, the younger one before my youngest. We'd like always fight for like the microphone. There was even a cassette that like said something like that had like a recording of our voices. And it was like him complaining that I never let him sing. I can't find it anywhere. And I'm so sad, but I remember we had that. And my mom said like back in the day when I was younger, cause I was born in Nigeria. So all of this that I'm saying happened while I was in Nigeria. So I would like take the sheets off of the bed and like put it on like it's a gown, and I'd walk around holding something like a mic and pretending like I'm performing and things like that. And my mom never told me those stories until like recently, the story of me like walking around like I'm performing. But I always knew that I loved music. I loved singing. But like my parents didn't really allow me to pursue it. They were like focus on music, like the African culture. I mean, they were like focus on books. The African culture wasn't really, you know, accepting of like being a musician. They felt like it included like drugs and like things like that. So they weren't really accepting of it. So they kind of made me focus on my books more. But they knew I loved music. But yeah, that was kind of how I grew up.
Wow. I mean, that's so interesting that it was always within you. Like even when you were younger, walking around doing your own world tour with your gown and your microphone. I love that. I mean, it just shows that you're passionate from a young age. And so it sounds like, you know, music runs in your family. You're talking about your brothers as well. Do you find that music was a big part of your family?
What's crazy is like both my parents aren't really like into, I wouldn't say they're into music. They weren't the type that like exposed us to like different sounds or anything. We pretty much only listened to gospel in my like home. Like if it was a Nigerian gospel, it was like maybe a Kirk Franklin, Mary Mary, and that was pretty much it. I didn't really hear secular music unless I was at school. So it really wasn't a big part of our lives. But my brothers and I all love music, which is so strange because we didn't grow up with music in our life like that. But both all of us, like the other two, my brothers are musicians as well, but they rap. Like they can't, they're not singers. Like they can't really sing. It's so strange, like how I have a voice and nobody else has a voice. It's just so weird.
Hey everyone, just a quick break here. I wanted to thank everyone for watching and listening and ask that you show your support by engaging on social media, whether that's following us, liking the content, sharing the content. You can do all of that over on social media at Here to Listen Pod. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen Pod, P-O-D, on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, huge shout out to the supporters on Patreon. You can join on Patreon, patreon.com/HearToListenPod, H-E-A-R, to listen pod, P-O-D. And if you're part of the gold or platinum tier, you can actually hear an extended version of this interview. That's right, more content, more questions. You can hear that by subscribing to the gold or platinum tier. You can also join the silver tier. Just like in the gold and platinum tier, you will get episodes the day before they air for everyone else. So thanks again. It truly helps to support what I'm doing and my passions and my dream. Well, you know, you spoke of your parents, maybe a bit of, they had a bit of reluctance for you to pursue music, it sounds like at the start, but it's interesting how it seems that things have changed now. I mean, I saw on your YouTube them reacting to your EP, Worth, and they seem so into it, you know, especially your dad, and your mom was into it too. She was holding back a little bit more. And then by the end of it, she was like, she was feeling it. I could tell. So what has that journey been like? You know, how did you actually end up pursuing it? Even though they were like, hey, like maybe pursue the books, focus on this. Did you just combine both, like the studying and the music?
Yeah. So, my parents are super supportive now. Like I would even say maybe they're my number one fans. They are so supportive. But so they were like, not for it. But then artists like Wizkid and them started coming out. And like, I've always been in the like African music scene. So my parents hear the music that I hear. So they started seeing like Wizkid and them do well in music. And they started being like, okay, like this could be a line of work. Like they're starting to see the potential. I had friends, like I had one of my best friends, Shanice. She would like try and like help me meet producers and stuff. My dad found out one time and like called her behind my back, yelled at her, everything. It was a whole mess. I know, he was not for it at all. But like, and I was focused on my schooling, so by the time I finished university, he kind of he wasn't reluctant anymore because I already did what you wanted. At this point, let me do me. And my ex-boyfriend at the time, for my birthday gift, he paid for me to do 10 sessions at a studio. And that was my Worth EP. So that's how I like started releasing music. And then because I started, I'm not gonna just not do it. So then I like continued, and that's how we're like here now. And they're like very, 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 very supportive. And even the Juno nomination just made heighten the support. Like now they're like, okay, this is going somewhere. And like something about African dads, they're just so, they just want to feel so proud. So like people contacting my dad like, oh, I saw your last name. Is that your daughter that was Juno nominated? Now the man's feeling himself. He's extra happy. Now he's going to tell everybody and their mama about me. Like,
I know. And I wonder if the story will change now, you know? Oh, yeah, we were always supportive. We were putting her in singing lessons. You know?
That's how I'm now hearing the story of, you used to wear the sheets. And I'm like, you didn't tell me all of that before. Like, they're like, oh, it's always been in you. So you knew.
Oh, I love that. I mean, even the fact that once you got in the studio, you know, did that... When you were in the studio, did that feel like home to you?
Honestly, I was confused. I'm like, okay, so how do people do this? Like, what happens? Like, it was just, I would say that Worth EP was definitely my experiment of like figuring out the studio, because like literally each song, I would just go record it, and I'm like to the engineer, okay, do your thing now, bye. Like. It took time for me to realize, okay, I have to be more hands-on. I have to think about background stuff. I shouldn't just freestyle background stuff and leave. Like now I'm like more, I'm like involved from beginning to like end, and I'm more intentional about things I do in the songs. So,
If you feel comfortable, I would love to hear a little bit more about maybe a time that has been more difficult for you in your life, and a time that, you know, that you've, how you overcame that as well.
Like in general, time that was difficult. I mean, I've had a lot of difficult times in my life. Let me think about something that I'm okay sharing. I would say I was in a very, 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 very toxic relationship. I was kind of like scared in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, music is probably what helped me get out of that and like have an outlet, because music is not even just about the like singing part. It's the fact that you have something to do after work, or like something you're passionate about, something that takes your time. You're not always just like, I'm an overthinker, like a serious overthinker. So if I was just at home, I would just be overthinking everything. But it gave me an outlet to do something where I didn't have to like just overthink and sit and just, you know?
Yeah.
So I think music was what saved me in that situation.
Music felt like a little bit of an escape.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, the highs and the lows. And I know, you know, your song Safe, you kind of speak to that.
Oh my gosh. That is where that song is from. Like, wow. Yeah.
It was inspired by that, because that song is so raw. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, what you're going through in your life really inspires your music. And do you feel as though being so vulnerable in your music that can have an impact on your listeners?
100%. I feel like that's where I kind of shine with my music, because I don't really hold anything back with my music. I think that I'm like, I probably shouldn't say this. So I'm like, you never know who else is feeling that exact same way. And I want people, music is supposed to be healing to me. And it's supposed to allow people to know they're not alone in situations. So I feel like I have to always be vulnerable and be honest about my feelings so that people know they're not alone in those situations.
Yeah. It's clear that your music is having an impact. And onto, you know, a different topic, when you're nominated for a Juno, how did that feel? Like, did you finally feel like your music was resonating?
I was overwhelmed. I still get overwhelmed when I think about it because I'm just like, what? Like what? Like I was not expecting it like at all. And it just made me feel like, wow, I'm doing something. No matter what, like you never know how people are gonna take a song. Just put it out there. Like I loved that song. I love all my songs, but I wouldn't have said, okay, this is gonna be the one. Like, you know, I just put it out there, and it's just crazy that like other musicians heard it and said, this is a song that should be nominated for Junos or for even anything. Like, it's just crazy to me. I was literally at work when I found out, and like first I screamed, then I ran. I don't know why I was running. I ran, and then when I was no longer running, I just started crying, like uncontrollably. Like I was just crying, and I'm like, why am I crying this much? Like it was just overwhelming. Like I was not expecting it at all. And to be like independent, I was just like I, in your head you always think maybe these things are like not rigged, but like there's a favoritism, you know, or like people who know somebody in there, like, but that just made me like, not everything is rigged like that. Like people really are just listening to the music. Just make good music and things will come to you. Don't always look at the networking that people have against you and da da da. It's just create music, love it, do it, and things will come from that.
Definitely. And when you heard that, you said that you ran. Where did you run to?
So I was in the hospital because I work in the hospital. So I was at work in the hospital. I was in like a room because I'm on the stroke unit. Well, I'm the full-time float, so I go on every unit. But that day I was on the stroke unit. And on the stroke unit, we have like a unit. We have like a room where people can see how they are at home by themselves before getting discharged. Oh, so I was okay. In that, yeah, it's kind of cool. So I was in that room just like watching the nomination video, and I was like recording myself because my manager was like, someone called and said we should watch the nomination video. So I'm like, interesting, let me record myself watching it, because I'm thinking I also applied for a program that prepares you to be Juno ready. So I'm like, okay, maybe they're gonna announce like who they picked for that. So like, let me record myself. You never know. So yeah. So I was in that room. Then when I found out, I screamed. People ran in and I couldn't even explain to them what happened. I'm just like, ah! I just started running. And then I ran to the rehab gym. And then I was trying to explain to my friends. I just started bawling. So that's where I ran to.
So are you an occupational therapist then?
Occupational therapist and physiotherapist assistant.
Wow. So you're doing that full time?
Yes.
And when you're doing this full time, you know, where do you, first of all, when do you find time to write, and where do you usually go to write?
I write in my car on my drives.
So right there.
Yeah. Literally, I'm driving, I'm singing. I need to get this car tinted because this is a new car that I just got. I need to get it tinted because I know people just look at my car and like, what is this girl doing? But yeah, I just like sing in my car, and that's how I like create my songs pretty much.
And when do you find time to do that?
On my drive to work, on my drive back home from work, on my drive to like an event that I have to go to. Honestly, anytime I'm feeling like, oh, let me make a song right now, which is pretty much almost every day. I just do it because I feel like when I'm at home, I'm just tired and I'm probably not gonna do it. And there's no other time. And I feel like in the car, I'm just free.
Yeah.
I'm not overthinking what do I want to write about. I just listen to a song, I mean to a beat, and I'm just flowing and doing, it's nice. I like it.
So right now we're interviewing you live from your studio.
Yes.
In a way.
Literally.
Wow, I love that. So what advice would you have then for someone that maybe is working a full-time job and they've always had, you know, a passion, or, you know, whether they're dancing or singing or creating videos or even something else, and, you know, they're like, oh, well, I'm always busy all the time with work. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for them?
It's not easy at all. It's actually like super, super, super hard to get out of being tired and having to sleep for the next day. But when you're really passionate about something, it's not a job. It's fun. So even though you might have to do it after work, if you just look at the fun side of it, it's not going to be as tedious. And yeah. Honestly, I personally am too much of a realist that I feel like you have to figure out a way to balance both until you get to a place where like your dream is supporting you in all areas of your life. Like it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be harder if you focus solely on your dream, in my opinion, because then there's like pressure to make money off of your dream rather than the love for it being there. And I don't want to lose the love for music. Yeah. So I rather struggle and balance both than to lose the love I have for it.
Yeah, I know that makes sense. If or when that happens and you're able to pursue music full time, how would you ensure, I mean, I'm jumping ahead to the future part, and by the way, right now we're in the present, we're doing the past, present, future. You know, I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but you know, when you get to that point, how do you ensure that you don't lose that the passion love? And the creativity? Yeah, when it starts to feel like a job, or maybe you have to deliver your album by a certain time or date and you're like, I'm not feeling creative right now, or I'm feeling more creative, you know, later on. How do you ensure that you don't lose that passion?
I don't even know, but I feel like as I've been doing music, I've been finding other areas that I've fallen in love with. Like, I love creative directing, and I wouldn't have known that if I wasn't doing my music, and if I wasn't doing it independently for me to have to figure it out myself. So I feel like I will find other passions within music, and that's probably how I'm gonna always keep that fire burning.
Yeah.
And I just love writing in general and trying new sounds, so I feel like that will help to keep that fire burning. But I do know, like, when something starts becoming a job, even if it's your passion, it might start, like, you know, being tedious. I don't want to get there, and I hope I never get there, but I don't think it will happen to me. I feel like now it might, just because I'm like, there just would be pressure of, oh my gosh, I have to do this event in order to survive. And it just, I don't want that stress.
I on that note, I was wondering how you would describe your music to someone who's never heard it.
I would say soulful, nostalgic, intimate, relatable.
So you mentioned nostalgic. What would be that memory? Like if you could describe a certain memory or a certain feeling to someone that's never heard your music, what would that scene be? If it was a scene in a movie, what would it look like?
I would say a Keisha Cole moment, a scene of love and heartbreak and healing.
Oh, okay. So it would be a bit of both. It would be like the roller coaster of love.
The whole roller coaster of love. And with Keisha Cole in the corner, singing her heart out.
That actually brings me to a topic that we were going to cover, which is, you know, your love life. Are you dating someone right now?
No, I'm seeing someone, but not in a relationship. Yeah.
Okay, you're feeling it out. How would you describe your perfect person?
I don't even know. It's so stressful. I don't know how I would describe my perfect person, because like I like different types of people.
Okay.
So, but I would say somebody that is definitely understanding, 100%. Somebody that is religious. Someone earthy.
Yeah.
Someone down for like picnics, long walks on the beach, maybe. Aww. Someone that can like cook. Someone who is a serious acts of service type of person, because I love acts of service. Probably chocolatey dark skin is usually my go-to. Beard. Oh my gosh, me and beard. Okay. Yeah, somebody sweet, you know, honest.
You mentioned that your perfect person would be religious. So would you consider yourself a religious person?
I do consider myself a religious person. I may not go to church every Sunday. I do like to watch church online often, but I don't go to church every Sunday. But I do believe in God, and I like pray every morning. Like I have a strong belief in God. So it doesn't have to be someone who's like in the church, but like someone who believes in something and there's a higher purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally can align with that. You know, speaking of that purpose and connecting, you know, it sounds like your connection to God, but also even with music, there's probably a lot of emotions that you go through. So when you're singing, what emotions are you feeling?
Feeling a lot of hope with fear, and I would say uncertainty.
Mm.
When I make music, like, because I talk a lot about how I feel about love.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes I really strongly believe in like the fairy tale of things. Yeah. But I'm also seeing a lot that is not the fairy tale of things. So it makes me skeptical as if is it really a thing that's out there, or is it just been in my mind this whole time? And it's just, you know, it's I go through a lot of emotions of, yes, I believe in love. No, I don't. And I think it shows in my music, because some days I'll be like singing about love songs, my fairy tale world. And then other days I'm like, fuck y'all. Yeah, raise them. This is that. Well, so I'm up and down.
There's different Zen soul music for different feelings that people are experiencing, exactly. Right?
Exactly. Everybody's going through my roller coaster with me.
Zen soul, you have this new emotional ballad coming out in March called Let Me Go. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's a very emotional song. I wrote it about a space I'm in where I really want somebody, and I feel like the person wants me too, but the person isn't making a move. And I can't walk away. I need the person to let me go in order for me to walk away. Like, I need the person to walk away from me, because I cannot walk away from them. It's very, very emotional.
Would you be open if they were to, like, you know, claim you, like, kind of be ready for a relationship, or are you kind of at the point where it's like, no, you gotta let me go?
I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't know how I feel. I'm in a place of uncertainty. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I think they'll listen to the song, probably, whether they know it's about them or not. And I think that whatever ends up happening with that, it will be for the greater good.
Exactly. Everything I've learned in life, everything happens the way it was supposed to happen. Nothing is bad timing or wrong timing. I do have a song called Bad Timing, but nothing is bad timing. Everything is happening at the perfect time, at the right time that it was supposed to happen.
My next question to you is the why. You know, why do you create music? What is the why behind what you do?
I think it's therapeutic for me. sometimes I myself don't even know why I'm writing a certain song until like after I've written it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this was me telling myself this and I wasn't listening. Or yeah. it's me like analyzing the situation. And sometimes I don't realize until after I've written the song and I'm like, wow, this is how I'm truly feeling. I'm not really good at expressing my feelings, and music is my way of expressing it. So that's one of the reasons why. Another reason is it gives me a purpose. It gives me a reason. It gives me something to do outside of like work, even though I love what I do. And it's giving back as well. It's an art form that allows me to give back and to have a purpose. And thirdly, it allows me to connect with people and, yeah. you know, share my story with people.
I love that. You know, and connecting with people seems like such a big part of your music and your vulnerability yeah. in your lyrics as well. And, you know, it's interesting that you touched on how it's, you've looked back and you're like, oh, I was almost telling myself something at the time. Do you almost find that sometimes your music is like a scrapbook? Like you can look back and be like, oh wow, I was really going through it then, but wow, I got through it.
Yes. All the time. I listen to some songs and I'm like, damn, that's how I was feeling back then. And sometimes it's like, wow, the way I was feeling 2 years ago is the same way I'm feeling now in certain situations. It's just, it's really nice. It's like it's a diary.
Oh, I love that. But for the world to be able to read, really, right?
Or listen to. Some people even noticed, I was in an interview the other day, and some people noticed things about like my songs, and like they relate one song to another song, and I don't even realize it myself sometimes, because the way I make music is I just freestyle in my car. So but like after I'm like, oh, this means this and da, 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 da. But some people even put things together that I'm like, yo, you're right, and I didn't even realize it at the time.
Wow.
And they're connecting dots for me, and I'm just like, that's crazy, because that's truly how I do feel, but I didn't notice they were related.
And your fans notice that.
Yes, crazy.
I mean, they're so dedicated. Right? And like, you know, they're noticing all these little things. You may have to start incorporating like Easter eggs into your music to kind of give them a clue of what's
something
next, right?
Something to find, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly. But I loved that. I loved that so much, because I'm like, wow, like I love that you're able to see things in between the lines, and like even share things about myself that I didn't even realize, you know?
If you, and you know, I know you like to create music on the spot, and I don't know if you're feeling musically inclined right now, but is there like a quick like one-liner lyric melody that you would create for, you know, us being, you know, this interview right now, the Here to Listen podcast?
Here to Listen podcast? Okay. We are listening to the Here Listen podcast with Ryan and Zenzo, talking about the present, the past, and the future. I don't know.
Wow. We may have to work out the rights for a theme song there. That's that was pretty good. Thank you for that.
I don't know. I
love that. Yeah, that's such a talent that you can do that right on the spot. You know, it makes me think of, I find even in what I do and interviewing people that, I can be an extroverted person, but the minute the camera turns on, it's like I'm a different person. Like not in like a fake way. It's just like I can ask those questions and I can be even more extroverted. Whereas, extroverted, but I can have my shy moments. So I was wondering, when you get on stage, do you almost have like an alter ego, or does it feel like you turn into a different person, or is it the same Zen soul day to day?
Naturally, I have like days where I'm like high energy and days when I'm like low energy. It just depends on the day. But when I'm on stage, I always have to bring high energy, bubbly me. But the way I've like presented my like stage performances, it allows me to kind of be either or, because
Okay.
I tell stories while I perform. So I might just talk about things, about why I wrote the song or how I'm feeling in the moment. So it allows me, I can realistically go up or down,
Yeah.
but I definitely have to either, regardless of like, you know, which energy, I always have to at least like, you know, be present and be confident. Whereas some days I'm just like not in the mood, I'm just down energy. But yeah, with Zensoul, I always have to be yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, you do a great job and you seem like a very genuine person. It just comes to you naturally.
Thank you.
Back to the songwriting. What do you think your favorite lyric that you've ever written is?
Favorite lyric? Wow. Nobody has ever asked me that, and I don't even know. That's a really good ass question.
Thanks.
Supposed to be home somewhere I could go, because I feel like I still so much want that.
Supposed to be home somewhere I could go.
I feel like that is the center of everything that I want and everything that I keep writing about. Either
wow.
I'm writing about not having it, or I'm writing about wanting it. Yeah.
Wow. It's almost like you want to come back to center, back to home, back to who you are.
Always. Like I feel like I'm always looking for home. And sometimes I'm like, I always know that I should be home. But sometimes I'm like looking for home in other people.
Yeah.
But it's just that home feeling. I feel like, yeah, that's an amazing question.
Oh, thank you.
What? No problem.
You don't ever seem to love me right. You don't ever seem to put in time. You don't ever seem to hold me down. Oh, I, oh, I. You don't ever seem to love me right. You don't ever seem to put in time. You don't ever seem to hold me down. Oh, I, oh, I, oh, I.
Okay.
You have a song called If I Lie. And I wanted to play a game where you tell me two truths and a lie. And I have to guess which one is the lie. So you're going to tell me three things about yourself.
Okay.
Two are truthful and one is a lie.
Okay. I have a gold medal in track and field. I hate shrimp. And I took taekwondo when I was younger.
Ooh, this is tough. I feel like all those things could be true. Oh, okay, Zensoul. I think that the lie within those three is that you hate shrimp. Is it?
I love shrimp.
Just the way you said it, I'm like, okay, she's saying that she hates it, but I feel as though the vibe is that she does not hate it. Oh, I'm sorry. I have so many questions for you. So thank you for being so open. I is there any misconception about you that you would want to clear up? Is there any misconception that you think that people have about you?
I think there's a couple. I don't remember them off the top, but I know I always feel a way about a couple. But one I would say is, because I am very soulful and I have this like earthy vibe to me, sometimes people take like all earthy people to be like into chakras and all of that. And trust and believe. I barely know anything about that. I don't know what that is. Okay. I'm just into the earthy aesthetic and I love soul music, but I don't know about like all those extra. I have, and the fact that I have locks even make it even like times 10. But I just love locks, like, you know, but people are just gonna assume you are that type of person. And also because my name is Zensoul and I do have a soft voice when I talk and things like that. But people, when they see me, like if I was at a party and I'm like dancing, going off, they're like, what? You have hype moments? And I'm like, yes. I'm like super hyper sometimes. Like I have hyper moments.
Have you met like, me? I'm, you know?
Right? I'm not always zen. People think I'm always zen out. I'm like, no, I'm not zen out.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm glad that we could clear the air on those.
Yes.
So if you see Zensoul at a party, she's not going to just be chilling on the couch. She's going to be busting a move.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I have one more question and then I have five questions for the future. So my final question in the present is, if you were sitting with your younger self right now, and you know, she's sitting in front of you, what would you say to her? What advice would you give her?
Don't focus too much on the future. Live in the present.
Oh, that's a perfect segue going into the future questions. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
But that's realistically what I would tell myself, because I focus so much on, like, even with career choices and things like that, I focus so much on the future. Like I didn't want to be a nurse because I'm like, nurses sometimes have to work overnight shifts. I want to be able to take care of my kids. I want this amount of kids. I just focused a lot on the future rather than just living in the present. Like if I was in a relationship with someone, I'm like, and like, let's say they wanted to like buy me something in the moment, be like, no, put it in savings, let's save it for a house or stuff like that. And it's like, just live in the moment. Why are you so focused on a future house that you didn't even end up with the guy?
Yeah.
I would definitely say that to myself. I was too, you know, focused on a future, and here I am in the future and I'm like, all those things didn't even matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're telling it to yourself now in the present.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you
for a better future.
Yeah. What's something that you haven't accomplished that you want to accomplish?
So many things I want to accomplish, but one that I really want to accomplish like soon is to perform at Color Studio. Have you seen Color Studio?
I think I've seen
the platform.
Yeah, I believe so. Is it? It's almost like a Tiny Desk series, or am I thinking?
Yes. But it's like just the artist and the mic.
Yeah.
And like, I 100% want to go to Tiny Desk too, but I'm thinking of like what is more tangible right now.
Yeah.
And Color is a platform I really want to perform on.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll see you in 2023 on Color Studio.
I claim it.
You're claiming it. What are your goals for 2023?
I feel like I've been experimenting. And 2022 allowed me to experiment on my Afrobeat side. 2023, I want to start like, I know who I am. I know what I want. This is me, guys, here. And just flood.
Looking ahead 5 years, so imagine 2028. What would your life and career look like in 2028?
I would be singing all over the place, traveling, have a husband, have kids, creative directing videos.
My final question today, Zensoul, for you is, if you had a memoir or a movie come out about your life, what would it be called?
Life's roller coaster.
Oh, and why did you choose that title?
Because life is not no straight path. There's just so many twists and turns. And I feel like I've experienced a lot of twists and turns, but there's still a thrill. There's still a thrill and it's still fun. And, you know, you get off the roller coaster eventually.
It can be scary sometimes. And sometimes you're nervous and sometimes you're joyous. You're enjoying it. And then after you're like, wow,
you're overcoming. Yes. You're overcoming. Like, it's just, yeah.
Okay. Life's Roller Coaster by Zen Soul.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being so open.
You did amazing. You did really well. This was fun.
Thank you. I'm glad I had fun too. And it was so great getting to know you. And thank you for being so open and vulnerable and sharing more. And I loved learning more about you. And I'm sure that all the listeners and the people watching this right now felt the same. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad. Of course. You know, it was really nice to just, you know, chat and talk about things that, you know, I probably didn't talk about in other interviews.